I kind of feel like I might have been underselling Duke, but ultimately Florida State was too much in the end. I want to start there. I want to start with what you saw in that game and what you take away from it.
I mean, my takeaway for Duke is unfortunately spinning it forward, right? Now that team, after pouring it out, and especially defensively for about 3.5 quarters, doing everything that you needed to do to pull off a stunning upset, your first win ever against the Florida State football program, just the inability to get anything done offensively. And I think we started to see a little bit of that. But then once Riley sits down, the offense can't get a first down.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had shown you Keon Coleman's stat line and the way that they would keep in check one of the best wide receivers in the entire country, you'd be like, oh, man, that's what Duke needs to win.
Right.
Jaheim Bell, the tight end for Florida State, was huge. But Jordan Travis just threw it on his back. He said, all right, I am not going to let us lose this homecoming game. And Duke just wishes it had its quarterback who has that same potential to go out there and try to trade blows, right? Because we're talking about two of the quarterbacks that are in that top tier conversation of the ACC, but it's not going to be the case when you take Riley Leonard off the field and the Duke offense is now run by Henry Beilin. I think that's when, as you and I talked in the preview, defensive coordinator Adam Fuller was going to be, you know, very respectful, not try to overcommit because you're worried about what Riley Leonard could do breaking a big play. Seemed like the Seminoles really teed off once Beilin was in the game, and things sort of, you know, slid out of control from there.
And the truth is, they should have done that anyway. I thought it was pretty obvious that Leonard was not going to be the same Riley Leonard, but I guess just the threat of Riley Leonard, like, okay, he's faking, right? He was like playing possum. Like, it was pretty obvious they were not going to do that with Riley Leonard. He had one rushing attempt for the entire game. It was one rush for 13 yards. So, but he gets hurt, and then Duke has a chance at that point. Like, I don't know that it wasn't a better option to kick the field goal. You weren't going to – I understand the idea. We're already down here. We're not going to beat them with field goals, but – maybe just taking 3 points might have been better, although it was a 96-yard drive for a touchdown.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you're going to give them the ball at the 25. If you kick a field goal, you've only gotten 3 points, and then, you know, they get an additional 19 yards as opposed to sticking them at the 6. So I get it.
I mean, yeah, I do too.
The timing was off, you know, disappointing execution. I liked the play call that they ran in there as well, but – man, it's just, again, this is why I say spinning it forward. Now you got to pick the pieces up, and you've got to go to Louisville to play a team that was off last week, able to sort of flush that Pitt loss out of its system. And, you know, styles make fights. This Louisville defensive front, man, they get after it. Yep. They did a great job of plugging things up in the run game against Notre Dame. But all season long, they've been very, very good off the edge. They've been great at applying pressure. So, like, what's Duke going to do to have a counter to that? And then on the other side, Duke's defense just played well enough to beat Florida State. Now they've got to just go up against a fresh Jeff Brohm-coached offense and try to go do it again. You throw these two teams in a vacuum. In, you know, like, take all the other season out of control. Like, if it's all, everything's all neutral field, neutral this, neutral that, Duke is the better football team. Mm-hmm. I just fear that Duke will not be able to play to its potential because of all of the factors, including its own health, including, I mean, Miles Jones didn't play in that game against Florida State as well. You know, they've got some injuries along the offensive line. Like, they are a walking wounded team that just poured it out in Tallahassee, and you're asking them to go up against a fresh Louisville team. I just worry that the final score will not be indicative of the quality of these two rosters.
Chip Patterson is here, and yet they ran the ball effectively against Florida State. It was kind of amazing.
Like, do that against Florida State. Florida State's got individual players that are excellent. Mm-hmm. I am not fully, you know, in on Florida State and the overall structure. Like, the Seminoles right now have a great path to make the college football playoff. I'll probably pick against them in the semifinals because I think that they're just not – everything's not awesome, right? You know, they have individual spots where if everything goes right, but we have seen time and time again – I mean, this was a retired kicker, unretired kicker away from Florida State having lost at Clemson, right? So there are plenty of spots along the way where I think that you can pick apart this Seminoles team. But good on Duke, again, for being able to move the ball and exploit that weakness.
Look, it's been a fun year for people who are kind of invested emotionally in that program. So good for the Blue Devils. Speaking of Clemson, so this was the first time I saw all year Dabo seemingly resigned to where they are. They're a 4-3 football team after losing to the University of Miami. I know that there are some off the field issues administratively. Consulting a media consultant, getting with a media consultant about what the future is and their value and whatnot. And the end of October, I thought we were going to hear that Clemson was leaving.
Don't you spit that evil. Get arrogant about it now.
For the Sun Belt. Who knows where they're headed. But what's your read? Clemson is playing NC State this week. I think this is the right, I don't know, is this the right time for the Wolfpack to get Clemson? I still think that there are the bones of a good football team there that just can't get out of their own way. Where are you on that?
Dabo Swinney was not wrong when he said that they were a few plays away, right? Just a few plays away from.
But a lot of teams are.
A much better team. I mean, they overtime loss to Florida State that I just referenced, double overtime loss to Miami, blown leads in both of those games.
Yeah.
You hold on and you get one more first down, you might beat the Seminoles and you might beat the Hurricanes as well. My issue is that it's a lot of tiny things that have made the margins so much smaller than we are used to. Like to jump on the fumbles, which, by the way, they fumble and lose the ball on fumbles more than almost anybody else in the entire country, might be going too hard on the fumbles. To go on the late game execution, the play calling, Cade Klubnik's decision-making is probably fair, but might be too hard there. I think that criticizing the big picture narrative about what would this Clemson program be if they just used a transfer portal, you're probably right, but it's not all the way there. The penalties, yes, but not all the way there.
Right.
It's a lot of these small concerns that have made those margins just so thin, and they just do not have one player like a Trevor Lawrence, a Travis Etienne, a Deshaun Watson. They don't have a wide receiver like a Mike Williams. They just don't have that one play. Like we saw the Ohio State Penn State game. We don't need to talk about that unless you want to. But like Marvin Harrison Jr. is that player who, when things are not going well for an offense, they can go and put it on their back. I was there in Tampa at the end of the 2016 season. Alabama's up, and we're wondering how much the Crimson Tide are going to run it up for a second straight national championship. And it was like Mike Williams said no. Mike Williams said no.
Right.
He had Alabama defensive backs draping over him, and Deshaun Watson wasn't even throwing good passes. He was just making plays out there. And whether it's wide receiver, whether it's Will Shipley, like he's very, very good, but is he that kind of player? Hasn't proven to be so far. I just think that all of the small things have added up, and I wonder, this is just what it looks like when you get to the other side of a peak. There was a definitive peak for Clemson football. It lasted from 2015 to 2020, and we're on the other side, and it's just really hard to wrap our mind around what we're seeing on the field. That Clemson-NC State game, by the way, you threw that on the schedule, and that was supposed to be a primetime game showcasing Carter Finley at night with Clemson putting its college football playoff hopes on the line in a difficult atmosphere against a good NC State team. We're catching that at the lead-in to Gilmore Girls. See that? Much respect to our friends on the CW.
Is that a show? It's not a lead into F-Boy Island?
The reads that James Bates does.
We're going to play the read. I want people to hear this again. I played it Monday. It is one of the greatest things in the history of Earth. Do we have it? All right, Victoria's going to pull it up. I sent it to her Monday. It is just mwah. Like, he speaks of it as though he is dialed into F-Boy Island, and I just don't look at James Bates and see that. We'll get to that in a second. All right, let me ask you about sign stealing. So my read on this is that if the NCAA has the goods on Michigan for using electronic devices to steal signs, and this low-level football staffer who has now purchased tickets to, 30 different games in 11 different stadiums, including stadiums outside the league, if they have the goods on them, they should ban Michigan from the playoffs now. Not?
They can't do that.
2 years. Why not?
They don't run the playoff.
Say that again?
They don't run the playoff. The NCAA has nothing to do with the college football playoff.
You could still put a postseason ban on Michigan.
You can't pre-vacate.
I'm not vacating.
Right.
I'm just putting it. I'm just banning them from postseason play now. If you're the NCAA.
I do not expect the NCAA's process to have anything close to a conclusion before 2024.
Right.
I do not think the NCAA has, I do not think the NCAA is built to be able to all of a sudden come in here and drop a postseason ban that is going to be effective for this season. That's not the way any of these have gone. And as vengeful as the NCAA has been for Michigan and Jim Harbaugh, I mean, remember, like, we thought that there was a mutually agreed upon resolution to the violations case that would involve Jim Harbaugh missing 4 games. Then the NCAA enforcement department came back and said, no, you get no plea deal. We want to have this go the entire distance. We want to have a full case here.
Right.
I don't think a postseason ban is going to be the NCAA's ultimate violation. I don't think that they're going to have the advanced in-person scouting, which is against the rule, and the use of electronic devices for advanced in-person scouting,
which is against the rules.
I don't think that they're going to take that all the way to a postseason ban. And again, I don't think any of this will impact this season.
All right. You're right. Based on the way the NCAA has moved slowly in everything and their ability to really punish schools for violations, the reason I feel strongly about this is because it does speak to cheating the game. This is not about recruiting and all of the, it's about cheating the game, and that's where I differ from other forms of violations. And I know Jim Harbaugh is pretending to not know, but we all know better, right? And there, the provision was taken out where it isn't whether or not the coach does know, it's whether or not you're responsible for the program. So he will bear the brunt. My fear is this. By the time they get around to levying any penalties...
Yeah, he's the head coach of the Chargers.
He'll be gone. Yeah.
Yeah.
In which case, the university is going to pay for his mistakes. I would rather him than pay for his mistakes when he's still there.
So Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti has the ability to offer swifter punishment than the NCAA does. The NCAA is bound by its process. And what I think is going to happen is that the commissioner of the Big Ten is going to go to Michigan and say, okay, spill it on the table, and let's see what needs to happen.
Right.
The analyst is going to be fired. A coordinator or two sit out maybe 2 games, and they get hit with a huge fine because they've got to throw some red meat out there before the end of the season. And then the NCAA will run its process. And by the time – I mean, Chip Kelly got out of town before the NCAA issues came.
Yep.
Pete Carroll got out of town before the NCAA issues came. I think that by the time we circle back to any kind of NCAA punishment, I don't think it will be a postseason ban, and I think that they'll have a Big Ten title or a college football playoff appearance, and they'll be okay with it.
I'm in the unenviable position of rooting for Ohio State. You understand that now? I cannot root for Michigan. I have to root for Ohio State. The final day of the regular season.
You're getting too upset by this.
What?
I think you're. I hate
cheating the game.
Sure.
I hate cheating the game. And that's what this is.
You see a major difference from figuring out signals in person rather than figuring them out
during the course of a game. Absolutely.
Or figuring them out on
what the Astros did, right, is way different than somebody on the bench figuring out what the third base coach is doing. So trying to decipher somebody's signs organically, that's been done in every sport since we've had sport and since we've had signs. That's different.
You can do it looking at the all 22 coaches film. You can do it off the TV camera. Like you are doing that already in the game of football. And I don't want to tie this to baseball. I mean, somebody who's pretty licensed to speak on it, Deion Sanders, had a great comment. He said, if I know what pitch is coming, then I'm going to be able to gear up for it.
Sure.
In the game of football, you still have to, there's a matter of physicality, brutal physicality. Like there is an execution level. There is 11 on 11, not 1-on-1. You know, you can know, everyone in the building can know that a running back is getting the ball and the running back's still going to get 3 yards.
So wait a second. Is Deion Sanders insinuating that it doesn't give you an advantage to know the play?
He said,
because that's freaking stupid.
No,
it's stupid to think that it doesn't give you an advantage if I know the play.
I am saying that they know the play already and that everybody is looking for an edge, and that I am saying that I have been met with some curious responses when we talk to members of the coaching community about the lengths that these analyst departments can go to.
Just means they're doing it too.
It almost helps Jim Harbaugh's case that Connor Stallions was so damn sloppy that he had Venmo payments to people with thumbs up emoji, football emoji.
Right.
Like it hurts Connor Stallions' case that he was bragging about this on LinkedIn. It hurts Connor Stallions' case that he's a Michigan fanboy who volunteered to do anything and everything. Mm-hmm. Bragging about a 500-page manifesto about what's going to save Michigan football from his experience in the military. I think that there are more advanced scouting techniques that are not this sloppy, and that if everybody was appalled by this and if this was not happening on some level at other programs, I think we'd be met with more frustration and, you know, a different approach from the coaching community than really what I've gotten in terms of feedback.
That's what it is to me, right? So Deion Sanders saying, well, you still got to stop the play. It's sort of like, hey, Barry Bonds might have used all these steroids throughout his career, you know, the latter half of his career. Oh, but you still got to put the bat on the ball. Yeah, you're right. You still do have to make contact with the ball. But you can't tell me that suddenly the guy who is hitting 30 home runs is now hitting 70 home runs where the steroids didn't help. I mean, I'm not dumb. So
Auburn had an assistant coach that was on the Florida State staff in the national championship game, and Kelvin Benjamin walked over to Jimbo Fisher. Florida State's offense couldn't do anything, and he said, they know our plays. So Florida State made halftime tweaks, and what happened? They stormed all the way back from a double-digit deficit and won the national championship.
Right.
There are so many times where football players get on the field and they realize that they've got all their calls.
Yep.
It is the method by which they are obtained that is a violation of the rule, and I do believe that Michigan will face punishment for that if this so-called 1 hour of video evidence of staffers in stadiums is presented. Then sure, absolutely. I am not as furious about this, and I don't think that Michigan's success is fraudulent because of this, because I think that Michigan's success comes from elite. How about this? Michigan knowing signs does not lead to the kind of player development that we have seen that has turned 3- and 4-star prospects into NFL draft picks. And that kind of commitment to what you're going to do from an identity of roster building that gives you the opportunity to go out there and play for Big Ten titles. I don't think that Connor Stallions, again, we can laugh at that. We can laugh very, very hard at the name Connor Stallions being at this level. I really, really think that Michigan is successful because of what they have done from a player development standpoint, not based on having the inside tip on what's coming right before the snap on Saturday.
And a terrible schedule that they played.
Every year. Yeah, 100%.
So I appreciate your time, Chip Patterson. I enjoyed the repartee. Oh, wait, I want you to hear this. Before we leave, a promo.
Everyone at home, are you watching F-Boy Island? Well, the answer should be F, yeah. Watch an all-new season of F-Boy Island on the CW Mondays at 8, 7 Central. Stream free the next day on the CW app. Season 3 has started, by the way. The finale of Season 2 a couple weeks ago was incredible. And it is about two or three shows in right now. They're already kicking F-Boys out of there left and right. Nice guys sticking around. They kicked a couple F-Boys off. So make sure you're checking it out on the CW when you're not watching us with all these great football games.
Stellar.
That's unbelievable. I'm watching that going, what is going on here? Have you ever seen an episode of F-Boy Island?
No, but we're going to talk about the middle eight. You know, in college football, it's about last 4 minutes of the second quarter, first 4 minutes of the third. Winning the middle eight is big. Can we talk to the Carolina Hurricanes about winning the middle eight of hockey? Can we talk? Was this three games in a row now? Like last couple minutes? Definitely inside the last TV timeout.
Last minute of the first period, last 2 minutes of the first period, three straight games has been a difference maker. And in Colorado, the shorthanded goal 2 minutes in, yeah.
Let me talk to the squad and get my middle eight charts up there. I'll give them the Chipolytics.
Chipolytics. I'll tell Rod. Rod Brindamore tomorrow. Yeah.
You tell Rod that Chip Patterson's got the Chipolytics to show you why we need to start winning the middle eight on the ice.
You're the best. Thanks, Chip.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day and for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry, with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders, all backed by real people ready to help, so you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.